Let's go to the cross for a few minutes and then we will close and go home. Amen. Are we ready? Can we stand up and pick our text and continue where we stopped last week? John chapter 1 verse 17. Can we be on our feet and pick our text a few minutes and we will close.
John chapter 1 verse 17.
Yes.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Again.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. My heart desire is to just give you a picture of why we must live by grace and not by law. And so the title is Living by Grace, Not by Law. It's a continuation of what we started last week. Last week, I tried to emphasize that the law, why the law was given. The law was not meant to be kept. The law was given so that Israel, who think they are special, we know that they too, they are condemned. The law became a curse for them. No man has the ability to live a life pleasing before God. Law and grace is all part of God's effort to make man live a life pleasing before him, a holy God. Without holiness, no man can see God. He's a holy God. The law does not make anybody holy. And so they still fall short of that glory of God. Jesus Christ in Matthew 5:48 said, "Be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." It's a commandment. He said, "Be ye perfect." Yet he knows we can never be perfect as far as coming before God is concerned. Perfection is only attainable in Christ. Perfection is only attainable in Christ. That is why Jesus Christ boasted, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me." Man lost fellowship with their maker from the Garden of Eden. And from then on, man has been struggling to return back to that fellowship. That is what has given birth to all the religions. They are all attempts of man to get to their maker. But the only means by which what happened on the Garden of Eden, the only means is what God has provided. And that means is a mystery. And until you receive that mystery, until you catch the revelation of that mystery, you will only be a religious person like all other religions. The difference with you is that your religion is called Christianity and your shrine is called church. And your priest of your shrine is called Jew. And people don't know anything more beyond that as far as the Christian faith is concerned. And that's what we want to establish, for we are now in the ministry of perfection. Amen and amen. You must be perfected to be able to go in the rapture. So Christ said, "No man can get to the Father except by me." And in 1 Corinthians 1:24, Jesus Christ, Apostle Paul said that Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Wisdom for what? Power for what? The power, hallelujah, the power and the wisdom. Power, oh glory be to God. The power that can change a sinner to a saint is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The wisdom for redemption is in Christ Jesus. The wisdom for salvation is in Christ Jesus. And this wisdom is a mystery. Apostle Paul said, if the princes of this world had known who Jesus Christ is, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Praise the Lord. What God used Christ to do was to achieve what the law could not achieve. And what he used is called grace. And what is grace? Grace is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Catch the language of the scriptures. Is Christ in you, the hope of glory? Catch my English. Servants of God, listen to my English. If you're a teacher, listen. Christ in you is not yet the glory in you. Christ in you gives you the hope. It goes beyond just, I've received the Holy Ghost. I received the Holy Ghost. If you receive the Holy Ghost, you have received Christ in you. But he comes in there to do something. When that thing he comes in to do is achieved, then you have that glory. So, it's not enough that I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the beginning of the attainment of that glory. Grace is the power by God himself to make a human being a child of God. Grace is the means by which God will achieve what he intended man to be. For in the Garden of Eden, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Brethren, man lost it. What we are today, there is no likeness of God. And the image of God and the likeness of God is not the color of your skin, your height, or your face, physical face. It is God's own characteristics.
Amen.
So grace is the means to be conformed to the image of God through Christ. Why? Because our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Why? Because Christ is the image of the invisible God. Colossians 1:15 says so. That image that Adam was supposed to be, God made the last Adam and waved him for us to see. Every child, therefore, that is called according to predestination, we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29 says so. Our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you catch this revelation, where will your focus be? Your focus will be to attain that image. But the interesting thing about it is that we have no power of our own to attain that image. God, knowing that, comes by himself through what he uses Jesus Christ to do to attain that same image. Grace is God himself coming to do the work of a believer to make you perfect like him. Now what? Jesus Christ said, if you will follow me, he said, pick up your cross and follow me. So, Grace has cost. Amen and amen. But listen very well. Grace has cost. What is the cost? Hallelujah. As free as it looks, the gift of God, it says eternal life is the gift of God. If something is a gift, oh glory be to God, then why are you saying it will cost me something? It will cost you, what it will cost you really is really nothing much. That's what Jesus Christ says. He said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28-29. Let's read it.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Now note verse 8.
Take my yoke upon you.
You see, now that is the cost now.
And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy.
He said, this yoke is easy.
And my burden is light.
And the burden is light. So God will not give you something that you will not be able to offer. He won't give you a charge of something that you will not be able to offer. It's so easy. Praise the Lord. This cost of, before you go to buy anything in the market, amen, there is always a price tag on whatever you want to buy. Right. Hallelujah. And what you will offer is determined by what you want to do with that thing. What you need it for. When we say there is a cost, pick up your cross and follow me. There is a cost even under grace. Praise the Lord. It is the response. It is the result of the revelations that bring conviction and concern for your life. The first thing God will do to attract you to him, because he said you should come, but he knows you will not come to him until he causes an attraction for you to come. And so the first attraction that God gives every human being is to let you know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that even hell is enlarged. And talks, gets you revelation about the rot that is to come. There is a destruction that is ahead coming. And these are the people that will be destroyed. And you see that you are among those that are supposed to be destroyed. And you see it. And then you will now see the need to escape. And then he can come and tell you there is a way of escape. If you will do one thing. That is the cost. Because you want to save your life. Because you don't want to go to hell. Because there is the day of the Lord. The day that fire will come upon this earth. Because you know it. That is the attraction. And when that attraction comes, oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It comes by revelation. By revelation. When you catch this revelation, then see the cost now. Number one, you will begin to seek for the kingdom that God has said is your way of escape. The way of escape. That's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But you can never seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness until you know why you must be part of the kingdom. Revelation. Revelation. And so the first thing that God will do to you, because of that revelation now, there will be a hunger and thirst for righteousness. There is a desire inside of you that now, you know, you want to run away from the destruction that is coming. The only way of escape, you have seen it. You will begin to look, I mean, you begin to seek for the way of escape. You will do everything to qualify to escape. This is what will make you to go beyond being a church member. There are some people that only know about prosperity and that to prosper, I should pay my tithe and put my offering. All you study is how your life will be better here. Hey, they are the type that jump from church to church, church to church. Ah, you are miserable Christians because you have not caught the revelation of a true salvation. When Jesus Christ said, strive to enter, strive to enter. What will make you struggle and struggle to enter? Rush, struggle to enter. Then you understand why Apostle Paul said, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because you know, this is the only opportunity I have. This earth is going to be destroyed. Then you begin to seek. Brethren, I know what it took me to get my wife after I fell in love with that girl. I thought she was in Lagos. I met her in Lagos. Until I was ready. She's from Niger Delta. So you know the creeks that are there. For the first time, I come from the north where the biggest river is a stream where the first drinking water at the back of the... During dry season, it will dry up. Until I went there, I go enter a canoe because I saw one small boy from that place where it was battling. Me said, enter. I said, give me paddle. The water was carrying me and going. What did happen? I must get this girl. I must marry her. Whatever it costs me, I will do it. That is the cost of getting her. Why? Because I loved her. I would do anything at all to get this girl. I'm not talking about those girls where he said, you love me, and hey, Paco, come stay for your house. Not that one. I'm talking of real marriage. Amen. Something propels you, and you will go through. You can go through anything. And that's why in Luke chapter 11, if we open it, from verse 9 up to verse 13, you then understand what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking.
And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you.
And see what Jesus Christ was talking about here, only Luke caught it very well. Asking there is not asking for marriage, asking for money, asking for, see what you are to ask. Go on.
Ask and it shall be given you. Uh-huh. Seek and ye shall find. Uh-huh. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Uh-huh.
For everyone that asketh receiveth.
Uh-huh.
And he that seeketh findeth.
Uh-huh.
And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is
now,
a father.
Now, this is going to define what is telling you to ask of. The assurance that if you ask, you will receive. Go on.
Will he give him a stone?
Uh-huh.
Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children.
If you know how to give good gifts to your children that come to ask you.
How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
So that scripture, what is he talking about? He's talking about eternal life. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. But it's something that will make you sick for it. It's a revelation.
Right.
can never seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness the way he's talking about here. That you will seek, you will knock, you will ask, seek, knock, goes with desperation. Desperation that comes from a knowledge you know that this is the only hope I have. If not, I'm joining everybody to enter hellfire. Judgment is coming upon this world, church. Judgment is coming, though. This earth will be judged, though. Fire is coming, though. The day of the Lord is coming. They are rejecting. They are making caricature of him now. He has reserved a day for this world, though. Not only, even if you die, you have not escaped, though. He's following you to the grave, though. That judgment will follow you to the grave. And those of us alive now, what the Bible tells us we shall experience is too horrible for anybody to play with what is coming ahead of us. Oh. It's too horrible. And I keep saying, how can I know these things and play with my eternal destination and play with my relationship with God? Many of us are relating with God so that our businesses will prosper. And they will prosper. It's what you look for from God, he will give you. Many people fast and pray just because of marriage. After they get what they are looking for from God, they continue with their normal life. And come and see how desperate they are. If dropping a ring and coming to prayer assembly will answer my prayer, they will drop it. They are dropping it because they want husband. They want healing. They want deliverance. And once they get it, they go back and they say, I will not see you again. Hey, so originally, I'll be Christ Embassy. Now, problem carry me come there. I know they forget that church. That church got the answer prayer there. You see them only when we have program. Come with padlock so that your door will be open. Program starts 10 o'clock, 6 p.m. Everywhere here is full. And the interesting thing is, whatever you look for him is what he will give you. And he answers prayers. And these testimonies seem to deceive the people. Hey. These same testimonies seem to deceive the people. Just like those who say, let's come and receive the Holy Ghost. What they are actually looking for is not eternal life. It's anointing. They want the gift because business can start after that. And God will give them the gift. God will give them the anointing. But judgment is coming. All will be there. He said, each one receiving justly his due. He said, hide in the saving, sin cleansing blood. And I will pass over you. The blood of Jesus Christ was offered on the cross, not for you to cast out devil. Oh. It was not offered for you to see vision. Oh. The blood of Jesus Christ is not given to us to heal the sick. Oh. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will follow. Healing will follow. Deliverance will follow. Vision will follow. Power will follow. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Ensure first that you are a son of God. If not, you will only be a servant by the reason of the anointing. And he will use you to show the whole world that he exists. So that when you will be judging, he will judge including you. He will say, I never knew you, even though you were casting out the devils. But I was honoring your word. But I didn't know you. Get away from me, ye that walk iniquity. Matthew 7:21 says so. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's why I'm stressing this thing. Apostle Paul said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Why did he say so? Because this is the process of the call. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 and verse 30.
For whom he did foreknow,
that is through foreknowledge,
he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son,
uh-huh,
that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Uh-huh.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
Now, it is by God's foreknowledge that he called us. And our destiny is already determined before we even began, through his foreknowledge. That's why he has the book of life written before the foundation of the world. Read on.
And whom he called, them he also justified.
Now, when he now call you, he will justify you. That is, he will do something with you that you will stand before him justified. Every sin you have ever committed before is wiped away.
And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
And when he now justifies you, it is there he glorifies you. What is that glorification? The process whereby you are cleansed by the washing of the water by the word. To present yourself to him, a church, without spot nor wrinkle, without any blemish, present to himself an estate where you can say like Jesus, if you see me, you see the Father. If you see me, you see Jesus. That process is what Apostle Paul said, all of you that are speaking in tongues, jumping up and down, I'll be minister, God will call me, God call me. He said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Because if you are called unto salvation, there is a process. Before finally, you are glorified. Praise the Lord. The cost of grace. Like I said, you begin to look for him. You begin to look for him. Praise the Lord. He made a statement in Luke chapter 13 and verse 23 and 24. Jesus Christ made that statement.
Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved?
Uh-huh.
And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate.
What did he say?
Strive to enter in at the straight gate.
That is struggle to enter in through the straight gate. Uh-huh.
For many, I say unto you, we will seek to enter in and shall not be able.
They will seek to enter and shall not be able. Now, is it because they could not struggle enough? No. Listen. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except you are born of the spirit and of water. Except you are born again, you cannot see. Except you are born of spirit and water, you cannot enter. When he said they will not be able to, they will not be able to because they did not catch the revelation. So instead of going through the straight gate, they will be entering through the wide gate. Because they don't know the difference. Church and a church, Jesus and a Jesus, man of God and man of God. They will not be able because they know not the truth. Some people don't even know the true gospel. How will they know another gospel? Some people don't know the Jesus that we serve. How will they know when another Jesus presented to them? Some people don't even know who is the Holy Ghost and the evidence you have the Holy Ghost. How will you know if you have another ghost? So they will not be able to. And so number two, when Jesus Christ say, come to me, come to me. When you are seeking him, and it goes with diligence to seek him. It's with body, soul, and spirit. Then, in seeking him, you will find him. How will you find him? You will hear him. Come to me. That means you were somewhere before. Come to me, Moses Alu. Oh, this vigil you go in the nightclub every Friday. Come to me. There's something you're looking for there. You go to nightclub because you think you will find peace and joy, happiness there. I have better joy. I have better happiness. Whatever you get in this world is temporary. The only thing that is permanent is in me, Jesus. You will hear, I hear that Savior say. They are the only one that can sing that type of song. Thy strength, ability to serve God, indeed is small. Because you have this flesh to contend with. You have every deception in the world. You have Satan to contend with. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. If I leave this shrine, they will finish me. I will not prosper, they will kill me. The shrine in my village, if we don't serve it, they will kill me. If I leave my religion, they will follow me and pursue me and kill me. But Jesus paid it all.
To him I owe.
I hear, you must hear him saying something. You will hear him saying something. But while we're in that world, though, while I was in that clock cult, while you are this, so serving that shrine, though, we are prospering. We are prospering, though. We are prospering. As long as you go to that mami water and Ezewani. I think it's Ezewani. As long as you go there, will you prosper? Anything you want to hear, then you will hear him again because you are seeking for him. He will tell you, come to the Savior.
Make no delay.
Here in his word,
he has shown us the way.
Is on tenderly because it's with you tenderly. But what is the benefit? He says, joy, full with the meeting me. Begins but that's by you hearing what Jesus Christ is saying. And it's not every voice that is voice of Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. It's not every voice you hear that is the voice of Jesus. If it is the voice of Jesus, he will call you and position you to reproduce his image. Jesus is not calling you so that you'll be going jumping from mountain to mountain. Jesus is not calling you to go about and be praying for people. There are people who your own is just go from shop to shop, house to house. You don't care whether they are Christians or not, as long as they will give you offering of appetite. See, you, it is a reflection of your revelation of who Jesus is. So didn't even hear any voice at all. The voice you had, now voice of hunger. Hunger. In John 6 verse 44, he said, no man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw you. except you draw you. And when he is the one that draw you to Jesus, he said, and I will raise him up at the last day, because he is the resurrection and the life. When it's the Father, that verse 45.
It is written in the prophets.
It is written. What will happen?
And they shall be all taught of God.
They will all be taught of God. Who do men say, I, the Son of Man, am? Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Nobody told you this, but my Father, which is above, he is the one that revealed who I am to you. If it is your pastor that reveal who Jesus is, he will be showing you Jesus through his own testimony. His Jesus may be the Jesus that does punk hair. His Jesus may be the Jesus that men will palm their hair. His Jesus may be the Jesus that allow women to wear that which pertains to men. His Jesus may be the worldly Jesus. You see? But if it is the Jesus Christ of Nazareth who went to the cross, suffered on the cross, paid the price for redemption, went through that anguish, that comes and says, my daughter, this is where you belong. It has an effect. When you hear the voice of Jesus, it has an internal reaction that takes place. All these people who say, I met Jesus, I told him, I'm not ready. You are not ready for what? You are not ready to go to heaven. You are not ready for better thing. I am not ready. You are like a 50-year-old single sister that a man is coming and she said, I'm not ready for marriage. You are not ready till when? Judgment is coming. This one will soon be wiped away. Mercy is offered to you. You say, you're not ready. Make a marry first. So the reason is because somebody told you that if you come to Christ, you will suffer. And I say it is wrong. It's a wrong gospel. There is no life better than the life in Christ Jesus. I have confirmed it, brethren. I have confirmed it. Nobody is forcing me to preach the gospel. It's what I have experienced. I am sharing with you. No life better. There is no peace anywhere else. There is no joy anywhere else. Hallelujah. There is no assurance of life anywhere else outside of Jesus. Jesus comes to offer you an employment letter. I want you to serve me. I want to use you. They say, no. God does not owe anybody. People don't know it. He does not use you and dump you. He will use you, and if you serve him the way he wants you to serve him, he will reward you. The reward, I'm not talking about going to heaven. Here on earth. Any minister of God that you see that is suffering, let him check himself again. How are you serving him? How are you serving this God? God can never use you and dump you. I have confirmed it. Church, I have confirmed it. I took more than 1 hour last night and I was thanking God when I saw from where he brought me. And I never, and the God of creation knows I am not lying. I am at the altar with a microphone. The last thing that was in my mind, I never knew that, never thought ever that I would make money from preaching the gospel. That's the last thing ever. In fact, it's never in my mind. When this church started, I was sponsoring the ministry. I always believed that the ministry is to be sponsored by me. For the first 2 years of this ministry, 100% I was sponsoring it. Going to the camp, no camp fee, nothing. Where would they get it? Where poor people are sitting down? For the people to go and get the Holy Ghost. There was even a time I didn't have money. I emptied my mother's account to take the people to the camp to get the Holy Ghost. That is why I get surprised when money becomes an issue in a ministry. What for? When I see where I am coming from, then I can say it pays to serve Jesus. I speak from my heart.
It always lead us if we do abide. There's nothing this world can pleasure
afford. There is peace and contentment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why will I not serve this God? Anytime I have a need, He supplies it. I told you about the 25,000 naira testimony and many other testimonies I have had. Hallelujah. Many other testimonies I have had that lets me know that I'm serving a caring God. It's difficult to preach what I'm preaching now because of the size of the ministry. Nobody will believe me. Nobody will believe me. And that's why, ask the deacons, ask the administrator, ask everywhere. They will tell you in this church, the slogan I have is, when there is a need, there will be a supply.
That's right.
Do you imagine we put up this structure without loan from any bank?
Hallelujah.
It's a miracle. But when we started, I kept receiving temptations. Somebody brought 50 million naira. What did they do? He said, nah, cocaine. Temptation. Another one brought 40 million naira another time. What did they do? Cocaine. Temptation. Then others, we come, give me your account, pastor. I will give them, no, I mean my personal account. They will put 2 million naira there. And then when she comes, she's painted up, paint here, paint there, and then she has given me money. I said, a temptation with this. I said, sister, don't dress like this and call hell. Inside of me, even at that 2 million naira where you give me, now you want to close my mouth, make her not preach the truth. No come, I don't tell you privately because I go preach. When they pray, everybody going to look you. They go vex, they go. Somebody came to me, we will bring rich people here. Pastor, you'll be driving them away. Minister. Somebody to get a new car meant so much to him. He needed a jeep. A pastor. Pastor, it's okay. I was wondering, what is this car thing? So we went to the bank, went everywhere and arranged. And bought him a brand new Prado. Brand new Tianalo. Then me, I was using 2004 Tokumbo Forerunner. Then everybody was saying, ha, that man charm you. I said, charm me like how? I have a car. It meant so much to him. Give him, make her get rest. If it will help him, let us go in the ministry. That has never been an issue to me. Praise the Lord. This man talking to you, that is why I got very excited when the sister from Abuja said her associate pastor in the church she attend said he was in one of the denominations. He's the assistant pastor. And they are messing up in that ministry. And he said, one day, because they are doing politics, those of them who use our ministry to establish their own ministry, then when it is, stand to finish. Because they have different motive. And their members are hearing us. And their members are our converts. They now begin to employ means by which they will cut them off from us. And they'll be speaking against this church. They'll be mentioning all manner of things. The assistant pastor said, you people cannot stop me from watching Pastor Alu. He said he was a pastor in one of the big denominations. He jammed me in bright television. He said he had some things and he went to seek the face of the Lord, that the Lord should give him 3 signs that this man I'm watching, you call him to lead people to heaven. He said the 3 signs he asked God to give him, God gave him the 3 signs. He said therefore he's watching this man. He believed this man will take us to heaven. And whether he show you the sign or not, okay, assistant pastor, whether he give you the sign or not, the sign is not a confirmation of my ministry. The burden in my heart still remains that I know one day I will be asked how many people I brought to heaven. The passion I have is to lead the people to heaven. And if God called me to be leading people to heaven, then I must also be a candidate to heaven. Praise the Lord. I was converted before I became a pastor. There are people that become pastor before they know Christ. Listen to what I'm telling you. Take it seriously. I may be rude in speech, but not in revelation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When he said, come therefore, this coming, this is where you see the major cost. You will have to forsake everything. That is the only cost of coming to Christ. You have to forsake. It demands forsaking all. If you are going to respond to come to me, you will have to be ready to forsake all. Like I spoke last week, we saw the position of the rich young ruler. He will not forsake all to come to Christ. The disciples forsook all to come to Christ. Paul forsook all to grab Christ after he found who Christ is. Read Hebrews chapter 11, you see those heroes of faith that were ready to die. They tore them, they burnt them, fed them to lions. But they did not change their faith. There was something they caught. Abraham, even the reformers, you saw what Martin has to drop all his doctrines that he had in his former denomination. And there was no denominational hangover. His position in the Catholic system, he sacrificed them to follow Jesus, to follow the truth. And Abraham is known as the father of faith. And the first commandment that God gave him was to leave his people. That's where you see grace. That's the cost of grace. And he's the father of faith. And he believed God. What is the evidence? Without knowing where the city is itself. That is what we thought. Although we know better now. Now what God showed him for him to respond like that, he saw a city. That's where God is taking him to. And he wants to be there. That's the revelation. Therefore, anything God said do, I will do. I won't even pitch my tent on earth. They were living in tents, ready to move to that city at any time. Praise the Lord. That is the cost. He left his people. He forsook his people to a land he has never been, but he saw it in a revelation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that you'll understand Romans chapter 12 and verse 1.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
You see, what is the first thing you will give as a sacrifice to God? When you come to him, you will give a sacrifice. What is it?
Your bodies.
What is it?
Your bodies.
Your bodies, so everything about you, without reservation, give it to him. That is the cost of grace. A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. That is the only cost, the major cost. Let me put it that way. And that's the most difficult of the cost of discipleship. That you can say, Lord, cover my body, soul, and spirit. Let my will be buried in your will. Where you lead me, I will follow. Do whatever you want to do. This is the revelation that people of old that wrote those songs in the 18th century, the 19th century. All these songs we sing here, that the anointing can never go down. The anointing can never go down because of the inspiration behind those songs. He said, have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. He said, thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. See, before you sing that song, he said, while I am waiting, yielded, total submission, and still no argument. He's the Lord. You don't know the inspiration of the man that sang, when peace like a river attended my way. Hallelujah. When sorrow like peace, like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know. It is well
with my soul.
Where he lost his wife, every member of his family, in the sea. He reached there as he was about to cry. Is he hearing the voice of the Lord saying, all is well, all is well. We have had the message, shalom, all is well. Look beyond that sea, say, there is a place of perfect rest. He had the beloved, so rest,
little
a revelation, there's an inspiration behind that song. That's why that song, these songs can never, the anointing can never dry, because the people that were that got those songs don't wear a ring to sing them. They don't, the women don't wear trousers to sing them. They don't go for show in churches, and then they pay them to go and sing the song. No. The inspiration there, they were going through situations, and they see here, have faith enough to say, I am saved. Whatever may be tied, he said, I am saved.
I am saved.
Whoever
may derive me.
He said, I am saved. As long. That's the condition. That is the cost. That is the cost. Hallelujah. It's not a song that they sing. I say, hey, in there, hello. No. That's what the type of song go. How did that song go? It's a song that you sing and you are crying, knowing that you are singing out of a pain you are going through, and yet you cannot forsake it. You can't forsake it, because you hear another song say, there is not a friend like the lonely
Jesus.
That's what you hear in the spirit. My song of revelation, not else can heal. Listen, hallelujah. Listen, there are times when you will go through certain situations. I have gone through it. And your prayer is, Father, you mean you are there, you are watching me going through this pain? It's another mystery. And yet you hear him say, I love you, my son. Father, you love me, and you see this pain, especially those of us who believe in divine healing. Ah, we dey suffer pain, oh. go, run, go hospital. They'll pump a chemical into your body, call it painkiller. But some of us, even we go to cry, let it not be toothache. Oh God, oh God. Let it not be earache. Oh, 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 Father. Because the earache, Bill says, Satan, they bring hammer. You go, oh, yeah, you go say, oh, Father, you are watching this. Then you hear another song. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There is not a friend like the lonely Jesus.
No, not one.
No, I was dying one day, as if I'd been forsaken. Everybody was laughing at me. And one day, I said, okay now, let me go die. After if I die, I'll go to heaven. I said, Father, everybody knows that I'm standing on your word. They want to rush me to hospital. I refuse. So I didn't say you should not go to hospital. It's part of those crazy things we do when we find Christ newly. You are body, soul, and spirit into it. Wow. I said, okay. If I die, all of them, everybody here, we know that I died standing on your word. That by your stripes I am healed. I said, when I die from this sickness, then it will be told that your word will come to pass sometimes only. Because this same scripture, you've healed me before. Why is this one now? Why am I standing here now? I'd ask you to forgive me. You say if I confess, you will forgive. I don't confess now. I've cried, say, have mercy on me. You say you're a merciful God. What's happening? All of a sudden, I saw a demon that walked out of me. Then I can sing, in sorrow is my comfort, in trouble is my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning sun. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Always listen. He said, come. If you don't come, if you don't come to Jesus, you will not receive, you will not position yourself for him to do the work of conversion in you. That is the problem. Because in Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, it tells us, oh,
and
praise
we
the Lord.
Are his witnesses of these things.
Uh-huh.
And so is also the Holy Ghost,
uh-huh,
whom God hath given to them that obey him.
The Holy Ghost is given to them that obey. Now, let me quickly tell you now. The Holy Ghost is given to them that obey. Peter, you are hearing me? Obey what? Don't wear trouser. Is that obedience? Don't put lipstick. Don't paint your face, sister. Don't beat your wife. The preachers interpret it to mean the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey the commandment of God. You have nothing in you that you can make you to obey the commandment of God. The obedience there is your obedience to totally surrender to him. That is obedience referred to there. Because if you don't obey and come, he will not be able to convert you. He will not chase you. He will only call you through the gospel, through the means he uses. So, have you obeyed the call? The denominations preach church. That's why quickly, they are quick to pronounce you born again. So that you become their church member. Then, they take you through school, workers' class, and all the classes, and then give you appointment. Somebody who is not converted has appointment in the church. It's a chieftaincy title now. And that person, you know you are not converted. You are not guided by the law of Christ. You are guided by the law of the church. Therefore, your Lord is the GO, not Christ. He's the one that will promote you. The one that will recognize you. That is why we have all the manner of carnality. And when they see things happening behind the pulpit, people are stumbled. People are saying, ah, and he didn't meet with Christ. He is a preacher, but he's not yet converted. The Holy Ghost is given to them that obey. Yesterday, I stressed the relationship that the woman has with the husband. Apostle Paul brought it out in Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 25.
Verse 22. Wives.
Verse 25.
Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives.
Listen, yes?
Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
He gave himself for it,
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
Go on.
That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Now, so what?
So ought men to love their wives.
That is how men are supposed to love their wife. And I broke down this scripture yesterday and during the week that I told the men, if you are not here yesterday, let me repeat it, that there is no perfect woman anyway. You understand grace even from marriage. There is no perfect woman anywhere. This idea of this girl I marry, I regret marrying her. She's very stubborn. I didn't know this is her character. I didn't know like that. No, you are missing it. When you marry a woman, it's the same way Christ married us. You come to Christ with your evil nature in you. But you must come. He will then wash you, cleanse you. You cannot wash yourself. You cannot clean yourself. You don't even know what he likes and he doesn't like. So it is in marriage. When you marry a woman, your courtship is only to confirm the attraction. What you discover during courtship is different from what you will discover after marriage. You must catch that. What you will discover during courtship. During courtship is a lot of attention. It's a lot of this. I love you, love you, love you. Love you, love you, love you, love you. And then you are buying gift. You are doing this. All that one is to convince her to marry you. All that gift you have been giving that girl. Any single brother here? James. I saw your face now. All that thing you are doing with that girl. Carry document, run, pass through how many borders, land in Nigeria, all that one. What happened? Hey, this girl will be a fine wife for me. You lie. You never know yet. And whether she's good or bad, you are the one to make her into what you want her to be. It is your responsibility. Listen, hallelujah. She is not yet a wife until you marry her. You are not yet a husband until you marry her. There is a responsibility of a husband, not a boyfriend. Boyfriend is different from husband. Girlfriend is different from wife. There are two different anointings. You can hide who you are to attract her to come. She too can hide who she is. Amen. And not even hiding. Because the condition that you subject yourself to under courtship is different from the condition you will meet when you come home. So, now, you can imagine that you marry a woman who does not know your culture, does not know your family background, your tribe, different languages maybe, different upbringing, and you are you are going to marry her. The order, spiritual order, we learn it from Christ and the church. It is after marriage. Now, your work to make her the woman you desire, the responsibility is on you. But the woman has to submit herself for it. If she does not submit herself for it, she will be a knife instead of a wife. That is the grace that bringeth salvation. When the Bible says, where sin did abound, what happened? Grace did much more abounded because, hallelujah, there are some men that have more work to do on the woman. Therefore, you will need patience, tolerance, temperance. You have more work to do. Hallelujah. Because the woman that you want to marry, who is a woman liber, she belongs to one NGO of gender advocates that speak big grammar. You call and they say, look, Bible says you have to subject. They say, I beg. You have more work. You don't go vex, so you just withdraw and say, Father, to you, Lord. We are sin abound. Don't go and throw away your wife. Start fighting for the next day. Every bad character you see or any character you don't like becomes a point of focus for you, the man, to work on. And you will never achieve success by fighting the person. But I'm talking about an ideal situation where the woman actually submits. Hallelujah. Verse 22, what did he say?
Wives,
what did he
submit
say?
Submit yourselves unto your own husband.
As what?
As unto the Lord.
Now, I explained it yesterday. That is, you are to submit. That Lord there is not Jesus, so that your husband, you must accept him as your Lord. So you will submit as somebody that has the final authority over you. It is only then you will give him the opportunity. If he said, do like this. If you don't understand, let him explain. Even if he doesn't explain, will this make you happy? Do it. And that doesn't make you a robot. It is you establishing a relationship. Because you don't enter. No divorce. You don't enter. So why will you not find out what will bring peace among us? As unto the Lord. Because Sarah is our example. She obeyed Abraham according to 1 Peter chapter 3 until he even called, she called him what? Lord. Listen, when he say he called him Lord, it's not nickname, oh. Lord Emeka. Pastor, someone will call you Lord. Lord Peter. Lord Peter. Then they go laugh. He say, Pastor, someone will call you Lord now. It's not title. It is posture. It's not title. God told the children of Israel, if I be your father, then where is my honor? Every day, father, then where is my honor? If it's your Lord, then where is the honor of a Lord? That is what you want to see. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So men, if you have not, every day you are just blaming your wife. The truth is, it's a sign of defeat that you are not able to marry a woman. And you have no right to go and marry when you are not of age to know your position and your authority as a man. The authority is not to command the woman to worship you. No. The way you show her love, she will worship you. The way you show her love, there is no woman that will confirm that the husband loves her that she will not submit. No woman. If despite all you are doing, everybody knows you are doing your best on the woman, and the woman is still not satisfied, then the woman has a psychiatric problem. You will take her for deliverance. But don't stop it. Continue. Continue. Even your neighbors will be warning her. Her relations will be warning her. They'll be telling her, even this kind of husband, me, I get. Where you get? Then she'll be start thinking, maybe I get something. Maybe I get something. And the Bible says, he that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor. Child of God, son of God, any woman you have is given to you by God. And it's a gift to you. It is how to keep that gift. He left it for you to do. Whether you will carry out that assignment or not, or you will suffer in that house. So is the Christian faith. Once you obey the call. You sacrifice your body, soul, and spirit. And it's not difficult to tell the Lord to take over, take over, take over. Then another thing it will cost you is fasting and prayers. That is the cost of grace. The reason you fast is to avoid besetting sin. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. What is a besetting sin?
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
What is this besetting sin? You want to move forward in your Christian walk. Something will try to draw you back. And that thing that draws you back is your flesh. And you take care of it with fasting and prayer, knowing that as long as you remain connected to the vine as a branch, you will find nourishment. But John 15, if you read it from verse 1, it says that abide in me so that you will bear much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. I'm paraphrasing. If you read it from verse 1 to verse 11, that is why Apostle Paul will tell you that he died daily. Why did he say he died daily? He said because he put his body under. Under what? Under the spirit, the flesh, so that the spirit can rule. Praise the Lord. It's to avoid destruction. It's avoid the extent where you will backslide. Once you backslide, it's evidence you are living the source of life. Hallelujah. So, as long as you remain connected, there is therefore now no condemnation. To them who are in Christ Jesus, no condemnation. Nothing can condemn you, because you will look for what to find around you. They cannot find it, because everywhere around you. Psalm number 1 verse 1, what does it say? Psalm number 1 verse 1, what does it say?
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Now what is the effect?
And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
That is the effect.
That bringeth forth his fruit in his season.
In his season.
His leaf also shall not wither.
Fellowship will never cease with the Spirit.
And whatsoever he doeth,
that is the secret of prosperity. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But many Christians are still living by law, not grace. So-called Christians. That's why Christianity is difficult. Zeal without knowledge. Apostle Paul told the Jews in Romans chapter 10. In Romans, hallelujah, verse 1 to verse 4.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Uh-huh. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness,
they have a zeal of God, but what?
Not according to knowledge.
Not according to knowledge. Uh-huh.
For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish
their... They are ignorant of God's righteousness. And they go to establish their own righteousness. By doing that, you have not submitted yourself unto the righteousness of God. Why?
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to
if
everyone that believes.
If you want to live a righteous life, come to Jesus. That is where grace is.
Hallelujah.
They go and develop their own form of righteousness. And it is happening today in the so-called holiness churches. So-called holiness churches. That is where you see the greatest hypocrisy in Christianity. They are living by law. By law. Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Let's read up to verse 20. Let's keep reading till I tell you to stop. From verse 21, Galatians chapter 4.
Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?
Uh-huh.
For it is written that Abraham had two sons,
uh-huh,
the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman.
Uh-huh.
But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh.
Uh-huh.
But he of the free woman...
The bondwoman was born after man's idea. But the free woman, by what?
Was by promise.
By promise. God is saying he will do it. This one is by their own idea. It was the idea of man that produced Ishmael. But God said, this is how I will do it. They could not wait. They had their own idea. Read on.
Which things are an allegory?
It's an allegory.
For these are the two covenants.
He's talking, this explains the covenant that produced law and the covenant of grace.
The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage.
It gave them bondage.
Which is agar.
The law is, don't do this. If you do this, you die. You see dead body, you die. You kill me, I kill, I die. Teeth for a tooth. Eye for an eye. If this law for this, wash your hand before you do this. There are so many. Go on.
For this agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, a Nazareth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with our children.
Uh-huh.
But Jerusalem, which is above,
which is
free.
Above the church, which is established from above, and it's talking about grace,
is free, which is the mother of us all.
Go on.
For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not.
Uh-huh.
Break forth and cry, thou that travelest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband.
Uh-huh.
Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise.
We are the children of promise.
But
not under the law. It's okay. Not under the law. Not under the law. We are not under the law. Unless you catch this, you won't know how to pray to have a holy life. It is true that a Christian should not fornicate. Now listen to me. It is true that a Christian should not fornicate. A Christian should not commit adultery. A Christian should not commit murder. A Christian, listen to me. A Christian should not steal, should not gossip. You will say that is the law. Now listen. I want to repeat what I said last week, and I'm saying it again, and I'll continue to say it. If you see fornication, and you decide to run away from fornication because there is a law against it, you are living by the law, not grace. So that you know how to pray. If you refuse to tell lie, because if I lie, I will go to hell. And the Bible says I should not lie. If that is the reason, you are not going to lie. You are living by the law, not by the grace. But this is grace. There's something done inside of you that when you see a woman, the thought of fornication doesn't even come. You are therefore not struggling with should I open my leg? Should I force her? Should I? Because nobody commits fornication by mistake. Every act of fornication is planned. It's arranged. If it is not planned by the two of them, only one of them staged it. It is even against the law of the light. It's called rape. But two consenting people, there was a lady who conducted deliverance here. And in her confession to me, she said her own is to go after men of God. And once you sleep with her, he said, your ministry must go down. Now she said that she had appointment with one man of God, but the man of God was in the east that day. And the demon that is disturbing her, she must fornicate that day. And as her luck will come, a brother in this church asked her to come. So that after service on Tuesday, they will go to a hotel. That was what brought her that day. They planned it. They were going to execute it. So the brother was still in the church on Tuesday when she saw deliverance going on live. And I remember the brother was doing like this. Maybe I'm talking too much. You must understand salvation. So that when you are praying, you will pray sincerely. Because you will have looked at. There are many of us here. The reason why, sister, you are not wearing trousers is because there is a law. But listen. What makes the dove clean outside? And it is the cleanest bed, we are told. The thing there is an oil from inside. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What makes the bed clean outside? That thing is inside. Amen. Hallelujah. That thing is inside. There is an oil it produces inside and cleans away every dust, every yamayima. So when you look at a dove, beautiful, clean. So is a Christian. What makes you to become a Christian, it is a walk from inside. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why the just shall live by faith. It's by revelation. If you catch this revelation, then you will understand how that we don't walk by a law, but by revelation. Revelation. Revelation keeps you away from sin. Therefore, you will not be struggling with sin. There is something that is done inside of you that makes you overcome this nonsense. Abraham is the father of faith. Revelation. Then, you will not be paying your tithe because if I don't pay, God will strike me. You are living by law, not by revelation. Which law did Abraham have before he paid tithe to Melchizedek? It's a revelation. To give your offering. Amen. Millionaire will come to church here. That's why all the millions you made during the week, time for offering, you jump and drop 1,000 naira. It's a function of your revelation. For it is God that giveth the power to make that wealth. But you are thinking it's your effort. Living by law. Prayer. Hey, I didn't pray. Hey, I didn't pray last night. Honey, why didn't you wake me? Do you want Satan to finish me? If that is the way you walk with God, you are praying, you are living by law. It's by law. My brethren, there is an estate you reach in your walk with God that when it is time for you to pray, you will pray. And when you don't feel like praying, you will lie down knowing that I will not pray now, I will pray later. And you will not feel condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation. Nothing condemns you because whatever you do it by the leadership of the Spirit that dwells in you. You don't do anything by constraint. You fast as He gives you the ability. If all the ability He gives me is to fast only 1 hour in a day, I will fast, and provided I achieve the purpose of fasting. There are people that do 3 days dry fasting. After they finish the 3 days dry fasting, then I branch their girlfriend's house as they are coming from the mountain. How has that fasting helped you? Praise the Lord. You will never love a brother truly until you catch the revelation of who that person is to you. It is a revelation of who I know you to be that reflects on how I relate with you. You are calling somebody Sister Joy, Sister Rose, Sister Anwuli, brother. You are calling Sister Anwuli, Sister Anwuli. Sister Anwuli is calling you Brother Emeka, Brother John. Brother John is coming to me, Sister Anwuli. I want to marry you. The first thing we ask is, where are you from? You see? Where are you from? But when we start singing now, this world is not my home. I'm Joseph. Where are you from? Because that will determine whether I agree or not. Our people don't marry from MBC. They say, if you put my mouth, you hear that camera. And you say you're a Christian. You're a hypocrite. You are not a Christian at all. And the worst. I beg you, we'll go find out too. Because we will not marry Osu. Christian. To another Christian brother, Christian sister. Osu. It's a function of your revelation. Given. It's a function of your revelation. Evangelism. You have to be forced. You have to. Amen. Are you not sitting down here? Are you not a member of the church? Don't you know the needs of the church? You know they see them. But in this same church, there are people that make sure that we don't buy any cleaning implements, cleaning liquids for the toilet. They supply it. A brother who used to be here is no more here. Used to go to the medical department there. Give me the list of the drugs you need for this month. He was doing it regularly. It's a need now. It's a need. Didn't the group see that we needed a better vehicle? And they gave us a vehicle? It's a need. Why must you always do it by a commandment? It's a function of your revelation. A brother is in need. Why are you waiting for for the brother to come and beg you. You know they see? Same cloth every Sunday. Same cloth. The cloth he wore Friday. The same cloth he wear. Does it not tell you that he is in need of a cloth? Don't you have clothes you have not been using for the past 4 years in your wardrobe? The function of revelation that whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you are doing it to Jesus Christ. You don't know that. So if you have to do it until we make announcement, we will continue to make the announcement though, because you may not know. But if you know and you are still waiting for us to make announcement, you are living by the law. Living by the law. That's why some of us have to be forced to make vows. Some by these churches. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Fear God. The fear of God comes from revelation. That's why Christian will not do certain things. When you love somebody, you will not like to hurt that person. That's why love of God and brotherly love is the foundation for our faith. And all the other laws in the Old Testament was hanging on that. And hallelujah, the Holy Ghost, the spirit of love. Love is the evidence that you have God dwelling in him, because God is love, and he that loveth is of God. He that loveth not is not of God. Evidence that God dwells in you is love. Love, 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 love. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9 and verse 10. What does it say as I'm closing?
For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness.
The fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Evidence that you have the Holy Ghost is demonstrated in what?
All goodness.
All goodness.
And righteousness.
And righteousness.
And truth.
Doing what?
Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
There is something inside of you that automatically makes you know this is acceptable by God and this is not acceptable by God. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And every other fruit hangs on this verse 9 and verse 10. Read that verse 9 again and verse 10.
For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
That is why he says you walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we are not to stick feathers. That's hypocrisy. To look like believers. There are people that physically you see them, they dress like Christian sisters. But it's not by your dressing we will know you. Because there are people that dress like Christian sisters, but they are witch, wicked inside. Wicked. If you ever see a fellow brother and it is not, hey, God did not make us judges to say this one is serpent seed. Therefore, I will have nothing to do with you. And don't relate with anybody based on any revelation you see concerning that person. Because I see you appear to me and you change to an animal. Then I begin to say, you see this man, he's an animal, he's an animal. Satan can give you dream and vision to make you hate one another. That is the power of love. Anything I see concerning you becomes a prayer point for me to pray for you. That is the effect of love. Praise the Lord. That's why, except you are born again, you see, you continue to walk in the flesh. And people will be using their senses to relate with one another. He says, henceforth, know ye no man after the flesh. We read who you are by the Spirit that we see in you. And the Holy Ghost in me will bear witness when I see the Holy Ghost in you. And if you see nothing good in people, it is evidence you don't have the Spirit of Christ. Praise the Lord. Therefore, total surrender. Total surrender. All you need, surrender. That's why that songwriter says, give me grace to follow abundant grace to follow. He said, give me grace to follow. Your grace is enough. These songs are inspired knowing that on my own, I can't do it. I can't live a life pleasing before you. Therefore, every Christian, your first prayer point for yourself is, Lord, Lord, make me a practical instrument
for you.
How will he make you a practical instrument? Hallelujah. If you don't submit yourself. I want to reformat our thinking about the Christian faith. There is no scorecard that they will list. Yes, since he gave his life to Christ, he has not lied, he has not fornicated, he has not cheated, he has not stolen. Then they are marking it. According to the law, if you fail in one, you fail in all. So there is nothing like it's 1/10, 10/10. There's nothing like that. Therefore, it makes you humble. Submit yourself, Lord, let my will be buried in your will. Let me not be distracted from the work you are doing in me, because we are to move from glory to glory to glory. How can you remain in the same estate spiritually since you gave your life to Christ 10 years ago? You are still battling with the works of the flesh. When will you allow God to deal with that weakness you have? Nobody comes to Christ perfect. They begin to deal with these things as you submit yourself to him to deal with it. Lord, give me grace. When you come to him, he will receive you and wash you daily with the washing of the water by the word. There is a tendency for you to confuse your rightness with God by the grace, the gift that he has given you. Don't watch the gift. Don't watch the anointing. Watch the fruit that you bear. Have you been to Jesus?
Have you been to Jesus?
For the cleansing power.
For a cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Somebody bow down your head and talk to God concerning your life. As you listen to that song also.
Otherwise,
I don't know who I'm talking to.
Snow, I washed in the blood of the Lamb. I washed in the blood, in the soul. Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you resting each moment in the crucified?
A question for somebody.
In the blood of the Lamb, are you washed? Are you washed?
In the blood.
In the soul.
In the soul.
Feeling the blood of the Lamb. I am
in the blood.
celebration for everybody. Have you obeyed the call to be washed? Washed from all carnality. Through total submission, total surrender. When the bridegroom comes, will you be ready?
When the bridegroom comes, with your robe.
Precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Can we stand up now?